Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 17 to 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 22. I want to read these because they have to do with the old man. And the Lord tells us to put off that old man. And later we'll see that He instructs us to put on the new man. And then He's going to give you some practical ways to do that. But first of all, let's look at the nature of the old man. Ephesians chapter 4, begin with verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk. And now here they go the descriptions. Number 1, in the vanity of their mind. Number 2, having the understanding darkened. Number 3, being alienated from the life of God. 4, the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Actually, got a couple of things there. Who being fast feeling, that's 6, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's 7, to work all uncleanness, that's 8, with greediness, that's 9. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt, that's 10, according to the deceitful lusts. Now that's a bad booger there. The old man is that natural man whose genealogy can be traced back to Adam, and he has a walk that is common to all other natural men. It doesn't make any difference what part of the world a natural man is in. He's got the same problem as any other natural man because he can trace his lineage back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave us, through the sin that was in their lives, sin, and consequently, we have this nature in us that will not be eradicated by salvation. It can be controlled in many respects by salvation as we yield our members as servants of righteousness, but it's never going to be eradicated until it dies. That's why we're to lead a crucified life with Christ. And when the rapture comes, if we're still alive, then God will change these bodies, and then we will have a glorified body, and this old nature will be gone. In the meantime, we've got this daily chore of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. So today, let's look at the old man. Now, the old man has some very common and clear characteristics concerning the mind of the old man. He's worthless. Concerning his mind, is worthless. Now that's kind of a strange thing when you think about PhDs working at NASA and in genetic laboratories. These guys have come up with some incredible science. I mean, when you think about it, the idea that you can shoot a man into space and keep him circulating around up there like he's on a commercial airline flight and bring him back to Earth and land him out on an airstrip. The fact that he could land a man on the moon. The fact that in genetic research they can actually affect genes and change things to control diseases and so forth like that. You know, that's pretty phenomenal when you think about it. But now you take a guy like that who spent all of his life in science or in medicine, developing his brain power, using his brain power, using his eyes, using hands, all that other kind of stuff, come up with all this great research and die without Christ. You know what? His entire work is absolutely worthless. He has no reward that he can enjoy forever. All of what he's done only convinces those that are behind him to follow in his footsteps and reject Christ for the work of their own minds. And when they die and wind up in hell, there's nothing left. Or let's say that they're saved and they spend all of this time advancing their own work and not the kingdom of God. It's totally, absolutely worthless. Where does it come from? It comes from the mind. As Ephesians 4:17 said, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Their minds are worthless. They're vain. Now, for this, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I say there, yours is too and so is mine whenever we work in the natural mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You see that? Paul says so in another place. The thoughts of the wise are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Now, when you think about that, it's hard to imagine. But you go to the bookstore there, or you go to the library there, and you see all those books and all the application of all those minds. Your mind, their mind, without Christ, are exactly the same, totally and absolutely worthless. The only thing you and I can do with our minds that's worth anything is to apply our minds to the study and learning of God's words, learning more about Christ and learning more about the things that He said. Therein lies the real source of real wisdom. All right, now here's another way that Gentiles walk in the natural man. Concerning their minds, they are worthless. Concerning their understanding, they're unenlightened. Now, that's not the actual thought process. You know, if you read about the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission and the Illuminati and various groups like that who have designs on taking over the world and becoming sort of the world rulers and dictators, they think of themselves as the enlightened ones. But actually, there's no light in them. We use the expression, shed some light on the subject. In other words, give me a little better understanding, a little better view. But no man can do that who is a natural man, because his mind, his understanding, is darkened. Look in Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 21 and 22. Because that when they knew God, everybody seems to have a capacity for this, you know, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. That's what we just studied. And their foolish heart was what? Darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, they call themselves professors. They profess wisdom, but they're really fools because they're dark. Now, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, the great minds of His day looked at Him and said, there's no way in the world, logically, reasonably speaking, that any woman could bring forth a child as a virgin. Consequently, they rejected the virgin birth, they rejected His deity, they rejected Him and crucified Him. But you know why that happened? According to John chapter 3, verse 19, it's very simple. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because, why? Their deeds were evil. You see, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as a result, when the light of the world show up, these who thought they were enlightened did not recognize Him because their understanding was darkened, and consequently, because He shone too much light for their dark understanding, they rejected Him, just as you reject the light when you walk out of a dark room. And just as photography and developing needs to reject the light in order to develop its pictures in a dark room, and so forth and so on. So the world is really unenlightened. They think they know what's going on, but they don't. Their understanding is totally darkened. So it's really strange, but when you try to witness to somebody who's very smart and try to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ whereby they may be saved, they think you're nuts. They said about Peter and John, they were unlearned and ignorant men. Hey, John and Peter knew a whole lot more than those guys that they were talking to that day, and the reason is they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so the natural mind, the natural understanding is vain and dark. But let me show you something else. The natural man has no relationship to God. Concerning his relationship to God, he is alienated. You're here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Watch it, being alienated from the life of God. Now, that's very strange, because you see a lot of people who are very religious that talk a whole lot about having some sort of relationship with God. And, of course, I did too, and probably you did too before you got saved. If you were religious at all, and I was, I went to church regularly, every Sunday. Matter of fact, I went to a seminary at a high school age to become a priest. And so it was my understanding that I surely had some sort of relationship with God. But the truth of the matter is, there is no relationship to be had with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I certainly named the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm sure that you do, or if you're lost, you do, and if you're saved, you certainly do, but name the name of Jesus Christ. The natural man oftentimes will name his name. But the truth of the matter is, until he is yielded, until the Holy Spirit actually takes residence in the body and the person is saved, there is no relationship to God whatsoever, totally and absolutely alienated. Alienated from the life of God, because that life is in his Son. That life is in Jesus Christ. Now, what alienates a person who's lost, what alienates the old man from God? Well, according to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, here's what alienates the old man. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So it's sin. See, you got that from Adam and Eve. Sin separates you from God. And what has to happen is all that sin has to be put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed at Calvary, and then alienation is gone, and you are adopted into the family of God and become his child. You see, the natural man doesn't see it that way at all. Matter of fact, if you're lost and you're listening to me, you're thinking in your mind, well, wait a minute, I don't see the difference here. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll see the distance. You'll see the difference right away. When I was in high school, as a sophomore, I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. Not because I was a Christian, although I thought that I was. I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting because I was an athlete. And we prayed before our races and things like that. And I thought that was a good thing to do. And I liked the men that were going there, and I liked the chaplain of the school, and I wanted to go. And I'll tell you, when I went to my first FCA meeting, I was sitting there, I think it was in a conference room of the Reed Hotel in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we had just had supper, and I was sitting down, and I was listening to a young man from Baylor High School in Macaulay. I was going to Macaulay School in Chattanooga. I listened to a fellow from Baylor High School talking about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I could tell immediately that it was personal, that it was real, and that he and Jesus Christ were really, you know, like on a first-name basis. And I told the chaplain of the school, I said, there is something different about his relationship in Jesus Christ and my relationship to Jesus Christ. They are not the same. Well, the chaplain understood that I was lost, and he drove me back to the school, and he preached the gospel to me so that I would understand how to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and be saved. But you see, I knew, maybe you don't, but I knew that there was some difference. The Holy Spirit was revealing to me that Christ was in him, but Christ was not in me, and I was not in Christ. Christ was somebody that was over there hanging on a cross. Christ was somebody that was over there in heaven, but I myself had no relationship to him. I needed to receive him as my Savior. And I've talked to a number of lost people that have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ at all, but because they go to church and talk about Jesus and talk about God, they really think they have some relationship. You don't. You're alienated until Christ is in you and you're in Christ, because that's the only way to God. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you if you're lost, so that you would recognize during this broadcast your personal need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a call at the end of the broadcast and say, hey, the Holy Spirit's revealing to me that there is a difference between my relationship to Christ and your relationship to Christ, and I need to be saved, you see. And then you can get saved. People like that actually think they're gods because you were born into the earth. The natural birth sends a natural man to hell. It's the spiritual birth that sends a spiritual man to heaven. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And you that were sometime alienated," see that? You're alienated from God. "You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," that means to make friends out of enemies, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." So that's the third thing that's wrong with the natural man. Now here's the fourth thing. Concerning his knowledge of God, see, concerning his relationship to God, he's alienated. Concerning his knowledge of God, he's ignorant. Now he wouldn't let you make him believe that. He wouldn't say, "I'm ignorant of God. I know his name. I know his son's name. I know Jesus' mother's name." I mean, how in the world could you say that I'm ignorant of God? You're ignorant of God if you don't know his son. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Now, here are some people. We're going to look at verse 14. Here are some people who named the name of God. They had Abraham as their father. They were Jews. They went to the synagogue. They kept all the feasts. They kept the Sabbath. They did all the law that they could do. They didn't do enough, but they did all that they could do. And when Jesus Christ came, watch what happened. Acts 3:14, ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That was Barabbas. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Man got healed. And now, brethren, I wot that through what? Ignorance ye did it, as ye did also your rulers. Ignorance you did it. They didn't know him. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the Bible says when the Lord comes back, he's going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. They're ignorant concerning the knowledge of God, totally ignorant. You know what most people are really like? I say they are professing Christians. That doesn't mean that they are Christians. It just means that they say they are professing Christians. You know what they're really like? They're like Acts chapter 17, verse 23. Because in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, Paul is in Athens, and he says, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription. What did it say? To the unknown God. Well, okay, they're ignorant. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now, I realize that you can't imagine a religious man being ignorant of God after going to church all of his life and naming the name of God and actually praying to him. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have not come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would know his Son. You would know that Jesus Christ is the only way there. Listen, there's a whole tribe, I don't know how many millions of Jehovah's Witnesses all over the world who have not come to the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk about salvation being in Jesus Christ, but they don't recognize Jesus Christ as God. You see that? And if they can't recognize Jesus Christ as God, then they don't know God, because Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh, according to the Bible, not according to their doctrine. So they don't know him. They say they do. They don't. They say they're his witnesses. They are not. They're witnessing for a spirit that has convinced them that the Jehovah they worship is the true God. And when they wind up in hell, they're going to find out that, in fact, there is a hell, even though they've denied that. Jesus Christ himself preached on that. God himself preached on that. If they knew God, they would know that God had made a hell. But they deny that. You see how that goes? And I don't mean to just pick on one group. I'm just trying to point out to you, if you were to talk to them face to face, they would say that you're absolutely crazy to say that they're ignorant of God. But the truth of the matter is, they really are, and would not accept at all that they're worshiping God in the natural man. But listen, if you've not been regenerated, you can't worship God in the new man. It's impossible. What's the problem? Well, the natural man's heart is blind. You're in verse 18. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their hearts. So concerning the heart of the old man, it's blind. Now, let's just look. Concerning his mind, it's worthless. Concerning his understanding, it's unenlightened. Concerning his relationship to God, he's alienated. Concerning his knowledge of God, he's ignorant. And concerning his heart, he's blind. You don't see that you have no affection for God whatsoever. You have an affection for the God that you worship. Oh, hey, man, I've traveled around the world. I've been over there in various places preaching the gospel. I've been in the Philippines and watched those people on the street lighting candles to their God and kissing statues of Jesus. And as far as they're concerned, they have a great devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ, but they don't. They have a devotion for the God that is represented by the statue that they worship. I went up there and watched the Taoists worship in their temple, bow down and bring their offerings to their great Taoist gods. Friends of mine have traveled into India and listened to the people worship their Hindu gods. All those are evil spirits associated with statues and other gods of their own mind's creation. And that evil spirit gives them a great sensation and a great affection for that God that they have created to make them think that they actually love the true God of the universe. And they don't. The natural man cannot. It's impossible. I heard a man say one time that he felt like it was possible if a man was true to his own religion that God would save him. You would never believe who that man was. That man was interviewed by Robert Shuler on television. I have a videotape of the interview. the man who said that if a man would worship according to his religious belief, faithfully, that God would save him was Billy Graham. He did. Now listen, the heart of a man, and Billy Graham knows the gospel, and he preaches the gospel. But what he said is not true, because the natural man cannot find his way to God. That is not possible because his heart is blind. The only way that he can find his way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, period. And the reason is, John chapter 12, verse 40, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. That was the state of the Jews who called upon the name of God, who rejected Jesus Christ, and they thought that they were worshiping the true God because they were worshiping according to what they thought was the law the true God had given. Now, if they couldn't do it because their heart was blind, how some guy that's worshiping a statue in another country that will not name the name of Jesus Christ get there? He can't. He can't. He must be regenerated. The heart is absolutely blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There's a Jew reading the Old Testament, but his heart is veiled over so that he can't see Christ in the reading of the Old Testament. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord, according to verse 17, to have liberty. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit will not go just because a man is practicing the dictates of his religion, else those Jews would have been saved without Christ. All right, what else is wrong with the natural man? The other thing that's wrong with the natural man is, verse 19, he's past feeling, having given himself over to lasciviousness. He's past feeling. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. His feelings are jaded. In other words, today this whole society runs on feelings. When you go to psychologists, they've quit dealing with the mind, they're dealing with the emotion now. And they say, how do you feel about this and how do you feel about that? And you feel angry about this and you feel shame about that and you feel guilt about that and you feel joy about that and you feel sad about that and you feel mad about that. You hear all that kind of stuff and everybody's going in accordance with how they feel about a certain thing. But listen, Jude 17 says, Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, now here's the word, sensual, having not the Spirit. They go by feeling, not by the Spirit. I've had to counsel a number of people who are Christians, and have had a similar experience myself, being led by feelings and assuming that those feelings were actually impressions that were put upon their hearts or minds by the Holy Spirit. They're sensual. That stuff is earthly and it's devilish. Look in James chapter 3, verse 17. It's talking about the wrong kind of wisdom. James 3:15 said, This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. It's how it feels. The impression the Spirit leaves. It results in a certain kind of a feeling, and consequently that thing is sensual, and what happens is people get jaded, they go past feeling, they have to have more and more of a thing, they can't feel it, it's like drunks, they have to have more booze, drug addicts, they have to have more drugs, sex addicts, they have to have more sex, because they can't feel it up to the level, they become intolerant, or they reach a toleration level they have to exceed, and what does that end up in the natural man? Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is the seventh thing. Concerning the natural man's relations to men, he's perverted. Lasciviousness is an inordinate affection that eventually leads to things like child molesting and homosexuality. An extreme perversion. I was amazed when I hear about reports of people getting on the internet and having virtual sex and disgusting things that are happening in schools and sex education. Listen, lasciviousness is down in the heart of a man. According to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, it's one of the 13 sins that rests down in his heart, and you take a kid and put him in school and give him a sex education with no God, you will excite the lasciviousness that's down in his heart, and you will create a pervert, and by the time he gets off into college, he'll have no bearing whatsoever in God, because he's perverted. Perverted truth leads to perverted minds, and perverted hearts of natural men leads to perverted societies, which is what we have in the United States of America, a bunch of perverts. All right, then the next thing you've got about the natural man, you see he's just totally estranged from God altogether, and the Lord says you've got to put this nasty man off. Because all of this stuff is in you, even when you get saved, you've got to put off that flesh. Concerning the works of the natural man, he's filthy. In verse 19 it says, to work all uncleanness. He's filthy, absolutely filthy. Filthy mouth, filthy jokes, filthy dress, filthy dreams, filthy look. All the rock stars get up there, they look filthy. The movie stars get up there, they look filthy. They want you to look filthy. A grunge, I think, is what they call the dress there for a while, the style. It's a filthy look. It's a filthy, dirty, nasty, I'm available for you to do anything you want to me kind of look. It's worldly, it's sensual, and it's crept into Christianity, and it's wrong. In Psalm chapter 14, verse 2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is nothing, there's none that doeth good, no, not once. Filthy. That's old man is filthy. He wants filth. You get him saved, if you put filth in front of his face like a movie, he'll chase filth. All right, now concerning the motives of the old man, he's greedy. He's greedy. To work all uncleanness with greediness. It's just unleashed covetousness. Gimme, gimme, gimme is what he turns out to be. I want, I want, I want. He's never satisfied. There's a couple of good verses, but given the shortage of time, we need to move on. That's just the bottom line is he goes by everything he wants. I want food. I want water. I want sleep. I want your wife. I want that movie. I want that job. I want social welfare. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. That is the underlying motive of the old man. Gimme! When it creeps into the pulpit, he steals your money. All right, what's the end of this old man? Well, look down here in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. That's the end of him. In Noah's day, Genesis 6, verses 11 and 12, men had corrupted themselves on the face of the earth. Totally and absolutely corrupt. Now today, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, men have corrupted the words of God, given you modern Bibles, and now they are creating corrupt Christians because they're following their natural desires. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. So this all happens according to his deceitful lust. He thinks he's doing right, but he's following the lust of his own heart, and knows only what he wants, and fouls up all 10 of these things you've heard today.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.